stand up. We're going to read of Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. We're continuing our series on preaching Christ. Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And after I read it, I'm going to say, this is the word of the Lord. And if you could all repeat by saying, thanks be to God. Ruth chapter 1, verses 15 to 18. This is God's word. And she says, see, your sister-in-law has gone back to her people and to her gods. Return after your sister-in-law. But Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. For where you will go, I will go. And where you will lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, your God, my God. Where you die, I will die. And there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more also if anything but death parts me from you. And when Naomi saw that she was determined to go with her, she said no more. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Let me pray for us one more time before we start. Ask for God's help. Father in heaven, I pray that our faith in Jesus would increase. Our faith in Jesus Christ would deepen our roots. On our faith in Christ will go deep down, that we will have a strong foundation, a deeper root of our faith in this Christian faith rooted in Jesus. So help us now. Help us to, as we have sung, open our eyes, show us the wonders of your Son. He is amazing. Amazing. Amazing love, amazing mercy embodied in your Son, Jesus. Help us now. We need your help. Do immeasurably more than we could ever ask. Or imagine, according to the power, Holy Spirit, come and show us, change us, cut us to our hearts. Now I pray. All this not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit in and through Christ. Amen. I'm going to attempt to try to summarize this book, this short book in the Old Testament. And here is the significance of Ruth. Now, do you guys remember Matthew chapter 1? Matthew chapter 1 has all the names of genealogies. Okay, it says, the genealogies of Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham and the God of David, son of Abraham and the son of David. And then he lists Abraham, all the descendants, and then he lists all the descendants after David. And in the Abraham, he lists three women, only three women, all Gentiles, Tamar, Rahab, and then the person in this book, Ruth. And that's very significant because remember what I said two Sundays ago? Two Sundays ago, I said, God, when God made the heavens and the earth, the first creation in Genesis, it actually fell. God made it perfect and he fell under sin. And in Genesis 12, through Abraham, God makes another creation, The first creation is done. He makes a second creation with Abraham and his family. Okay? God gives Abraham faith to start this new creation, new family. And then these three Gentile women are brought into the family of Abraham. There's two ways to be part of Abraham's family. One way is by born into Abraham as a physical descendant, or like these three women, they were by faith brought into the family of Abraham. And you will see what actually Ruth actually believed. She had the same faith like Abraham. And it's really, right now, it's really helpful for us to understand what faith is, okay? If you are a Christian, you have faith, okay? What has happened is God did a miracle. As we have sung, he has opened your eyes, okay, to not only see the spiritual world or the spiritual God. He has given us faith in the ability to live in that world, in that spiritual world, the world of God. Faith is the ability that God gave Abraham and all his descendants, like Ruth, to live in that world. Not only to see God, but believe God and trust God. And so we began the story of Ruth. And you know the story, I'm sure. Because of famine, Naomi, her husband, two sons go to Moab. Now, Moab is south. So here, if here's like Bethlehem, okay, Judah, Moab is like southwest, okay? And Moab obviously is not, it's a Gentile land. And so Naomi and her husband, because of famine, go there to make a living, which wasn't bad, you know. A good father goes to where the job is, where the food is, right? Prepare and take care of the family, and the wife and two sons. The husband die, and then the two sons get married to two Moab women who are Gentile women, and then 10 years later they die. Now there's Naomi and the two daughter-in-law, okay? And of course, the conversation goes, Naomi tells the two daughter-in-law, okay, I don't have no more sons, please go back to your homeland, go back to where you came from, to your parents, to back into their homeland. And then the one daughter-in-law goes back. But Ruth did not want to go back, okay? And so that's the story here, okay? Now, before we go on, there is a huge problem. Ruth, not only Naomi has a huge problem, she has no husband, no offspring, no sons anymore. I mean, she has nothing, okay? Now she's at Moab, but she has no friends, okay? And she has heard that the famine ended in her homeland, and she wanted to go back and told the daughters-in-law to go back to your home. I have no more sons, nothing to give you. But Ruth, she didn't want to go back. And on the surface, it seems as though Ruth and Naomi had a close relationship. And, you know, I mean, Ruth, she didn't want to go back home, and maybe she liked Naomi, and they had a good mother and daughter-in-law relationship. And so she had nowhere to go. She didn't want to go home, and she wanted to stay, and so she clung to Naomi, okay? Well, there's a huge problem. Ruth, she's going back to Judah where all the Jews were, and she's a foreigner, okay? She's not a native Israelite. She's an outsider going into a place that she doesn't even belong. That's one problem. Okay, just imagine that, okay? You just stand out. You're not an insider, you're an outsider. Not only she's a foreigner and an outsider, she's also poor. When she goes back to Judah, it says in Ruth chapter 2, you know, when back then, when they actually farm and then they glean the harvest, okay, there's a law that says you don't go back and glean again. The crumbs, you let the poor and the orphan and the widow pick it up, okay? And so not only she was an outsider, she was poor, okay? And not only she was an outsider, a foreigner, and she was poor, she was a widow. She had no husband. She's by herself. I mean, at least Naomi, yeah, she had no husband or sons, but at least she had her people, okay, that she's going back to, her hometown, okay? Ruth had nothing, okay? But that wasn't the biggest problem. And here's the biggest problem that Ruth had. And it's found in Deuteronomy chapter 23, verses 3 to 6. There is a law that condemns the Moabites. And look at what God says about Moabites. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 3 to 6. No Ammonite or Moabite, Ruth is a Moabite. No Ammonite or Moabite may enter the assembly of the Lord, even to the 10th generation. None of them may enter the assembly of the Lord forever. Now, that's a pretty harsh law. Moabite were not allowed to associate with God's people. Forever, they were banned. Because, he says, they did not meet you with bread and with water on the way. So, and you, the background is in Numbers chapter 25, when God's people came out of Egypt and on the way to the promised land, they rested in the land of Moab, okay? They lived there for a little bit. They settled there. And when they were there, the Moabites, what happened in that time is God's people, through the Moab false gods, Baal, they started worshiping the false god. Not only worshiping the false god, they were having sexual immorality with the Moabites. And so because the Moabites led, now obviously it takes two to tango, okay? God's not just punishing the Moabites. I mean, obviously the Israelites, you know, engaged in that. And actually, if you read, it's an awesome chapter. You should read it, Numbers chapter 25. What the priest did, remember what God's people supposed to be. When they came out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and then when God gave God's people the law, they were supposed to be a holy people, different from the Canaanites, okay? Different, holy people. And when the Israelites supposed to be holy, when they were engaging in this worshiping a false god and sexual immorality with Moabites, God came with anger, and he said in Numbers chapter 25, the priest killed 24,000. Slaughter them all. 24,000. It wasn't like 10. And because of this, God cursed the Moabite. The Israelites were not allowed to even be together. God forbid any Israelite to be near a Moabite. That was the law. So not only Ruth had no husband, she was poor, and she was an outsider, the law said you can't even associate with her. Don't be around her. And then when the text in chapter 1, it says, when Naomi and Ruth came into Judah, he said, look at what he says. So two of them went on until they came to Bethlehem. And when they came to Bethlehem, the whole town was stirred because of them. They weren't celebrating. Oh, Naomi and Ruth, you guys are back. They weren't saying that. The whole town was stirred because a Moabite was there. I mean, she was a talk of all the dinner table for months. Why is a Moabite here? We're not supposed to associate with them. They caused God's people into sexual immorality and worshiping false God. And so that's Ruth's situation. Just put yourself in her shoe. I mean, she was the bottom of the bottom in society. No one wanted her. I mean, she had zero hope. And I think you guys could relate to that because, I mean, how does the world judge us? I mean, how does the world judge us? Well, you might not be a widow or a poor or whatever. That's how, nothing really has changed very much. How the world judges us is, how does the world judge us? What kind of education you have, right? What kind of school you graduated from? That's how the world assesses us, right? Whether pay or all kinds. So the education is big. That's how world looks at us, by and large. What else? Job. What kind of job you have? That's how the world assesses us. What else? Maybe a house, apartment. I mean, a single family home is an upgrade too from an apartment. Generally, okay, I know in Korea, like, there's nice apartments. It looks like a, whatever, 3,000, 4,000 square feet. But generally in the U.S., it's, you go from apartment to a house, not house to an apartment. Car, what kind of car you drive, how much money you have. That's how the world judges us. And if you don't have all that stuff, if you graduated from a community college, I remember back then I don't know about things change. I don't think it has very much. Going to a community college, it was like death of you, Like you weren't even ashamed to say it. Where do you go to college? Oh, I go to a local community college. If you stayed more than, at least, I don't know about now, but more than, if you're fifth year, senior, that was like, no one did that. Maybe now that people do more, okay? Because staying another year is like you failed. I was so scared. I had to graduate in 4 years. Because if you graduate in 4.5 or 5 years, like something wrong with you. So Ruth had none of those. She had zero hope of a good life. None. Nothing. On the surface, it seems that way. But look at this Moabite. Look at her testimony. Even though on the outside, it looked like she had nothing. Absolute zero. An outsider, poor, a widow, and people didn't like her. Even God's law condemned her. Look at what she says. Look at it in verse 16. But Ruth said, this is not just because she liked Naomi. She had nothing better to do. Look at her testimony. Look at her faith. Ruth said, do not urge me to leave you or return from following you. Where you will go, I will go. Where you will lodge, I will lodge. And here is a phrase, your people will be my people. Your God, my God. You know that phrase? When God led the Israelite out of Egypt through the Red Sea, and when God gave him the law, this is exactly what God said to the people of Israel. Now you are not enslaved anymore. Now, through giving of the law, I will be your God. You will be my people. That wasn't coincidence. And this Moabite, who didn't have a Jewish upbringing, started saying those words. Your people, Naomi, will be my people. Your God, my God. She believed in the God of Israel. Or her hope is not the gods of Moab. Or her people. There's no hope there. She understood, and it has a lot of detail. I'm just putting in some details there. She probably heard through Naomi, the God of Israel, and God gave her ability to not only just to be, you know, benefit from God of Israel, she actually wanted him, saw him, wanted to be with the people of God, the God of Israel. I mean, you would think the natural thing to do is to go back to where she belongs, right? Why would she want to come to this uncomfortable circumstance? Even when the law says don't go there. Is because she knew that the God of Israel was the real God. That she would say what God said to the Israelites, now you will be my people and I will be your God. And that was on the lips of Ruth. I want this God. I want the God that you have. Amazing. This Moabite did it right. The other Moabites led God's people into sexual immorality and worshiping false God. This Moabite was a surprise. She had faith. She wasn't trying to lead God's people into sexual immorality. She wanted to be one of them, even though she did not have that upbringing. And look out. In Ruth chapter 2, here's another testimony. She finally meets, you know, I don't have time to explain the love story here, but she finally meets Boaz, and Boaz hears of Naomi's faith. And look at what he says about her. Look at chapter 2, verse 12. The Lord repay you for what you have done. A full reward be given to you by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. You see that? She didn't come to take refuge in Naomi. She came to take refuge in the God of Israel that Naomi worshipped. The Lord was her refuge. The Lord was her salvation. The Lord was her rock. This Moabite wanted to follow the God of Israel, worship the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And this is a specific faith. It's not just God generally. Look at who God is, and look at what comfort that she found in the God of Israel. This is the first time that God talks about what Yahweh, the Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is. This is the Lord that Ruth put her refuge in. She saw this. She had faith in this. God opened her eyes to see this. The Lord, the Lord. Remember, faith is able to open to the world of God, okay? Able to see this world from God's perspective. And look at what she saw about this God, the God of Israel. The Lord, a merciful God, a gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin. Let me say that one more time. That's what she believed in. She was taking refuge in a God who will forgive her. Now, please don't understand this passage here about God. Many people do. This is not saying the Lord, the compassionate, gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, forgiving wickedness to the 10th generation, forgiving wickedness and sin to the 10th generation. It doesn't mean that this God allows sin, okay? That's not what it means. This means God is able to forgive you of your sin, and this God is able to change you. That's what Ruth saw. It's not saying sin is okay. No, sin is not okay. This God will forgive you. And let me make it even more profound in the good news. This God, it doesn't matter. It matters little to him how big your sin is, or sins for that matter. He does care, but when you come to him with a big sin, many big sins, it doesn't matter. If you come to him, this God, this gracious God, he will forgive you. That's what Ruth saw. Is the people where God does not like, can I say the word, God hates, when they don't come to God, they don't come to this God for the forgiveness of their sin, big or small. He calls those people who are proud. He is able to forgive you of all sin. The biggest sin in the world, this God is able to forgive and forget about it. He's merciful, gracious God. It's not good news, guys. It's really good news. All the sins of the Moabites, God, this God, this Yahweh, is able to forgive Ruth. And she saw that. And she took refuge in this God. Amazing. An unlikely candidate, and then she finds salvation in the God of Israel. What does this have to say about Christ? Jesus, I think a long time ago when they had the, baby shower, I think one of the questions that they had was, what's Jesus' name? Well, Jesus, his Hebrew name is Yehoshua. I said that a long time ago. Jesus is a combination of two Hebrew names, two Hebrew words. Yeh is Yahweh, Exodus 34, verse 6. Yeh, Lord, Jesus means this, Lord, capital L-O-R-D, is salvation. That's what Jesus means. Jesus and Joshua had the same name. Joshua means Yehoshua. If Joshua was in the New Testament times, he'd be called Jesus. If Jesus was in the Old Testament time, he'd be called Yehoshua or Joshua. Yahweh, Exodus 34, that Lord is in flesh. Jesus is Yahweh in flesh. Jesus is the embodiment of Exodus 34, verse 6, is the same God incarnated, which is the Son of God. That's why you see Jesus, who is Yahweh, there's not a sin that he can't forgive. He only hates the hypocrites who won't come to him, who think they're so righteous. They think so holy. But when people are broken and come to Jesus, come to Yahweh in the flesh, they always get forgiveness. That's a sign of faith. The faith of Abraham. When you have faith of Abraham, remember, you are entered into the world of God, and the first thing that hits you is salvation from your sin. Matthew 1:21, you shall give him the name Jesus, Yahweh is salvation, because he will deliver you or save you from your sin. And if you're a Christian this morning, that's what you believe, like Ruth. Your hope is in Jesus, that he will forgive you of all of your sin, past, present, and future. That was Ruth's faith in the God of Israel. That was Abraham's faith. And now, that is your faith, isn't it? Your faith is nothing less than the God of Israel, the faith of Ruth, the faith of Abraham, all the faith of Hall of Fame. And just like Ruth was brought into the family of God, Tamar was brought into the family of God, of Abraham, into this blessing, the three women, you too, who are Gentiles, are brought into the family of God through marriage, through Christ. Just like Boaz marries Ruth and brings her into the family of God's people, you are brought into God's family through Christ, and he married you. He has taken you as your bride and brought you who are naked, pitiful, and poor, who are orphans, just like you. You are like Ruth. You had no hope. Look at what Paul says about you and me before we are Christians. Ephesians chapter 2. I don't know how highly you think of yourself, but look at Paul's assessment of us before we got converted. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11. Therefore, remember, church. Remember, Christian. Therefore, remember that at one time, you Gentiles... Anyone here not a Gentile? I think I see all the faces. You don't look like Jews to me. Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh called the uncircumcision. But what is called the circumcision, which is made by flesh by hands. Remember that you were at one time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. You see that? You had no hope. You're like Ruth. I don't know if you thought that. You are. We were poor spiritually. We are widowed without a father. You are an outsider. You are Gentile. And can I say this? God did not like you very much by yourself. But now through Christ, now you are married into the family of God. You're brought in. And now there is, the Christian story is a rags to riches story, like Ruth. The more bottom of the rung society that you feel, which you are, and when you've been shown a great hope and great mercy, you know what kind of people you will be? You won't be proud people. You know why Boaz was a perfect husband for Ruth? Remember who his mother was. Remember, she was one of the Gentiles who were brought into the family of God. Rahab was his mother, and Rahab was brought into the family of God, and she was a prostitute. She was outside. And Boaz looked past that, past all the outside of Ruth, which what people look at, and he saw her faith in the God of Israel. That started with her, his mother, Rahab. And through her faith, Boaz was introduced to the God of Israel. And he was the right person. Imagine just Boaz's life, guys. Okay. Who's your mother? Right? What does your mother do? She was a... was a prostitute. Imagine the stigmatism that he lived all his life. Yet that's not identifying him. He was identifying himself with the God of Israel. And so did Ruth. And Boaz loved Ruth. Just like we were like Ruth, no hope. God sees you, he has no hope, and then he adopts you. He brings you into as your bride. What an incredible. That's the gospel news. You're filled with that. If you had an inkling of understanding of what happened to you, you would not be like, who are you? You wouldn't do that. No ounce of pride would be gone. If you really know who you were, and now through marriage, through Christ, who you are now. You're bottom of the rung, and now through Christ, not a work of your own, now you are into royalty. A child of God. You're going to be inheriting the treasure, all the treasures that Christ the Son has. You will have. What is there to be jealous of in this world? What do we lack? Nothing. You lack nothing if you have Christ. Nothing. It is indeed a rags to riches story. you are blessed. If you are a Christian, a genuine Christian this morning, whether you believe that or not, believe it. You're the blessed, most richest person in the universe. Not because of you. It's because you've been brought into this family through Christ. Just like Ruth, from nobody, no hope, to full of hope. And when she had the son, Obed, Obed had son Jesse, and Jesse became a father to King David. And from King David came the Messiah. God is able to take Ruth and her no hopeless situation, bring into the family of God, and through her the Messiah comes. Incredible. That's her story. That's the Christian story. Amazing story. He takes us pitiful, poor, foreigner like us, Gentiles, and brings us into the family of God, richly blessed. That's who you are. Believe it. And live in that light. Don't live as though you are so poor that you are in need of stuff in this world. You have plenty or you are in want. It doesn't matter to us. Not what Paul said. I'm content whether I'm in need or I have plenty. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we so often assess ourselves with the outside of the things like education,